Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. Now we're turning for our Bible reading to the Gospel of Luke, and it's the chapter 2. We did read these verses the last time I was with you, but we could never read these verses enough. We could never read these verses enough. Can we just read the opening few verses? Verse 1. And it came to pass in those days. I have to tell you, boys and girls, that the Bible presents us with a very accurate record, historically speaking. God gives us dates, and gives us dates in such a fashion that we can pinpoint exactly when events in the past took place. And here's an example of it. It came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world, that is all his world, the Roman world, should be taxed. And this taxing, now the taxing was a reference to a taking of a poll, that is a gathering together information of all the details of the citizens. You might not know it, but your mum and dad fills in on a regular basis a form that gives all the details. And they even have to tell about you. No, they're not allowed to hide the fact that you belong to them. They have to tell that fact. And that was something similar that was going on all those years ago, some 2,000 years ago. That all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made. Now, here's the establishing of when. When Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. To be taxed, with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now, it's interesting to notice, you know, in actual fact, it would never have been recognized, but Joseph was of the royal lineage of David. He was a descendant of David. He actually, it might be said, could be called the king of Israel, because both he and Mary came in that royal line. Verse 6, and so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. The angel announced good news for all men. But you know, the world, and this shows the sinfulness of mankind, not just in this day that we're reading about, but in every age. Because ever since, this good news has been hated and rejected and despised. It's an embarrassment. Christians know that. Because when they go to speak of this good news amongst their friends, they find that they have to fight themselves, because they feel embarrassed about ever mentioning the Lord Jesus. The world doesn't welcome this good news. It's very much opposed to it. Now, I, on Tuesday past, set aside our normal study and instead took up this theme of Christmas and why we should avoid, distance ourselves from the celebrations that men engage in to supposedly mark the birth of Christ. I spoke about how ungodly the activities of today are. God does not rejoice in what takes place today, supposedly to celebrate the birth of His Son. God, I have no doubt, and I could prove it were I to take the time, God is offended, vexed and grieved at what takes place. And today I want to come a little further, and I want to say something briefly about the other side of the coin. We looked at, as it were, at the dark side on Tuesday. How men have perverted the story of the birth of Christ. We want to look at what the Bible says. And we read something of that here in Luke chapter 2. We can establish from the Bible, and I want you to listen to this, we can establish from the Bible when Christ was born. Wasn't the 25th of December. I showed you on Tuesday that that rather was the date that men had long before the birth of Christ and long after the birth of Christ celebrated a pagan feast. And indeed that's what takes place at this time of the year, though they have changed the name and the supposed purpose of the feast, but it's still a pagan affair. But we can establish from the Bible just when the Lord Jesus was born. And it might come as a bit of a surprise to you, it was in and around the beginning or the middle of September. That's when the Saviour would have been born. Now, as I said, the Bible does give us information whenever it's relating historical facts. It enables us to pinpoint the date. Now, you not read in the Bible the exact date in the form of the Lord Jesus was born on such and such a day in the month of September. You'll not find that, but you will find information in the New Testament that enables us to work out when it was the Saviour was born. Sometimes, as a means of encouraging us to study, we will be set a test in which a particular detail or truth is hidden, and we're required to search it out. It used to be something that was done at this time of the year, that a sixpence, which you wouldn't even know what it looks like, but an old silver coin called a sixpence was put into some of the delicacies that were prepared for eating at this time of the year, and there was always an eager search to see who would find it when they would bite into a cake or wherever it was that it was hidden by mommy or granny as a little treat. Well, God hides sometimes His truth in order to encourage you to search for it and study it. And in Luke chapter 1, the Bible gives us information about the birth of John the Baptist. His father was a priest, and the priesthood in Israel was divided up into 24 classes, courses, is what the Bible speaks of. They each took a week to fulfill their duties in the temple every day. They were there for a week. And then later on in the year they did another week, and that covered the whole year. And we're told that the father of John the Baptist was belonging to that course of priests who came in the 8th course. Now the courses all started, the Jewish year began at the Passover, which is about March, April. So he started his 1 week course 8 weeks after the Passover. And when he had completed his course, he went home. He had been told while he had been on duty in Jerusalem that God was going to give him a son, and he was to call him John. So we can calculate from the fact that this man of God, Zacharias, who was on duty about 2 months after the Passover, went home, and some 9 months later, God gave him a son. So we can calculate from the Passover, 8 weeks, and then 9 months, and that brings us to when John the Baptist was born. Now, we're also told in Luke chapter 1 that 6 months after John the Baptist was born, the Lord Jesus was born. And when we do all our counting of the months, we arrive around about September time. So we can be very sure of the month that the Saviour was born. And we certainly can be sure that when men talk about him being born on the 25th of December, they're wrong. They're wrong. And when you hear about that being the birthday of Christ, you will know from the Bible they're wrong. And boys and girls, just you remember this, that the world has everything wrong about the Lord Jesus. And this is only an example of how wrong the world is concerning Christ. Remember, it says he made the world, he created the world, and he came into the world, and the world knew him not. How often he would have met with a question from those who were educated. Who are you? Who are you? The Pharisees, the leading, what we might call theologians of that day, they frequently came to him and said, who are you? By what authority do you do these things? They didn't know him. Imagine how blind men are when they can look into the face of the Son of God and not know who he is. Not know who he is. How blind is the person who can go out on a nice sunny summer day and look up into the sky and not see the sun? It's the clearest object in the sky. How blind is the person who can't see it? And how blind is the man, or the woman, or the boy, or the girl, who cannot see Christ and know who he is? Now, supporting what I'm saying to you, that it was around about September, is the fact that these shepherds we've just read about were in the fields by night. Might surprise you to know that winter time in Israel is pretty cold. They frequently have snow in Jerusalem at this time of the year. So as shepherds and farmers who love their animals, they will not expose them to such coldness. They will house them during cold periods. And when we see here the shepherds are out with the animals, sitting during the night, we conclude that this mustn't have been the depth of winter, but it must have been earlier than that. And that supports what I am saying to you. Now, I want you to notice, and we're contrasting the way men supposedly mark the birth of Christ, I want you to notice how heaven celebrated the birth of Christ. Would you look, please, at the verses 9 to 12 of the chapter 2 of Luke? And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Do you want to copy the angel and celebrate the birth of Christ the way God would want his birth to be celebrated? Then you tell others. Just like the angels. They revealed the story of his birth unto men. And that in great detail. Told the shepherds where you can find him. Oh, that's what we need to do amongst our friends. Tell them where they can find Jesus. Do you know where he can be found? In the book. In this Bible. As you read it, from Genesis right through to Revelation, you will find the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, secondly, notice how the angels celebrated. They sung. They burst into song. Nothing wrong with singing, boys and girls. As long as we sing the right song. As long as we sing the right song. The psalmist David said that when God saved them, he put a new song in his mouth. That's part of salvation. That's part of getting saved. What God does for you. He gives you a song. And here come these angels and they are singing. It says in verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." When I read that, you know, I always get the impression that the rest of the angels in heaven, as it were, could not remain quiet any longer, but burst through and began to sing. It must have been a most wonderful event. Suddenly there was this heavenly host singing. And if they sing because of the birth of Christ, how much more should we not? No angel was saved through the work of the Lord Jesus, but they're singing. How much more those of us who have been saved as a result of the Savior coming into this world, how much more ought we not to sing? And I have to close with one more little thought. Consider how the shepherds celebrate. What they did, we should do. First of all, they recognized the divine nature of the news they had just heard. Verse 15 says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Oh, that you might be conscious that what you have in your hands is what God has made known unto you. That's God's message, that blessed book. Then too, they heeded this good news. They acted upon it. We've just read it in the verse 15. They said, "Let's go, let's go. Let us now go. Let us now go." Then also, they acted immediately and left everything and went to Bethlehem. When they got to Bethlehem, we read in the verse 16, it says they came with haste. No dilly-dallying along the way. They hurried. They probably ran. "And found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger, and when they had seen it," they paid particular attention to the Savior. Oh, they would have greeted Joseph, they would have greeted Mary, they would have congratulated them on the birth of their little baby, but it was on the baby they paid particular attention. And when we read the Bible, we should admire and study and consider those we read about, the David, the Abraham, the Marys and the Josephs. We should think about them, give them their proper place. But we should concentrate upon the Lord Jesus. He's the one God would have us to see. Notice in the verse 17, they were following the example of the angels, because when they had seen it, it says, they made known abroad all the things that were told them concerning this child. I'm sure they mentioned the angel that they had seen, not just one angel, but thousands and thousands and thousands of angels and them singing. They're bound to have referred to that fact, but above all, they made known what the angels had said about the child. That was the focus, the centre of their message, and that must ever be the centre of your witness and your testimony. I have often said throughout my years, when seeking to give a little guidance as to how to testify, I've often said to Christians, when you're inviting folk to church, don't say, "Come, we have a great minister." That might be true, but I feel that it's an emphasis that we shouldn't place upon the minister. Rather, we should say, "Come and hear our minister speak about a great Saviour." That'd be the right way. That's what we learn from the words of the shepherds. They spoke about Christ. They spoke about Christ. And then I want you to notice that the celebrations in which they joined didn't leave them with headaches, as will be the case, and is already the case, out there in the world, as men supposedly celebrate the birth of Christ. Didn't leave them with sick stomachs because they ate far too much. Didn't leave them with less money in their pocket because they had overspent. Didn't leave them saying, "I wish I hadn't done it." No. Look at what it says. They rejoiced they rejoiced. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Their life would never be the same. I have no doubt, boys and girls, that every year, on the anniversary of that great event that they had witnessed, they retold the story. And probably hundreds of times in between, but they certainly would have done it on the anniversary of that event when the angels came and told them of the birth of Christ. And their lives from that day, from that night, was one of joy and blessing as they recounted what God had told them and what they had seen. Finding Christ will change our lives and give us joy throughout our lives and throughout all eternity. Oh, may the Lord bless you today, and may you have the wisdom to discern the difference between what men say at this time of the year and what the Bible says about the birth of Christ. And may you distance yourself somewhat, and more than somewhat, from the ungodly activities of this day, and rather centre your celebrations of the birth of Christ upon what the Bible says. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, bless your word. We can but say that now at the end of these few stumbling words. Bless your words to the boys and girls, and benefit them thereby. And bless our school, and take care of it in these terrible times. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.